University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, your sister's ass, the Pony Express, a very thick, thick here. You know what ticks me off? Having to tell the government what to do because they have their heads in their asses. Now, follow me. There's something that's been bothering me, so I'm just going to say it now. Dear government, we understand that the virus is not your fault. It happened. It is what it is. I'm not going to get into that idea that maybe you could have acted sooner. We can deal with that when this is all over. But here's the deal. We need a real plan. It was the right move to make everyone stay home because that's the only way to deal with a virus like this. But here's where I have a problem. So, you told us to shut down non-essential businesses. You told us to go home and quarantine. You told us we have to keep social distance and stay inside. But you told us you would help. So where is the help? These checks are what they are. I mean, let's be serious. I'm not going to turn away $1,200 because, number one, if you're going to give it to me, I'm taking it. And number two, it's our money, not yours. It's ours. We paid that in taxes for everything we do.
All right, I'm going to jump in here. I want to jump in here. We're going to play more of this guy. This guy has gone viral. He's a New York City guy. He's a comedian, a little on the profane side. I think he's a Methodist. But he is fired up. And I think a lot of people are very angry about their current situation. The fact that the government is stepping in and telling you, hey, your job is no longer essential, so you don't get to go out there and earn a paycheck. Instead, you have to stay inside your house. You got to take what we're going to give you. And if you don't like it, tough cookies. And I have a question for you, ladies and gentlemen. The $1,200 a month that most of you got out there, across the fruited plain, that $1,200, is that paying your bills? Is that putting food on the table? How long did that $1,200 last? Were you able to pay your mortgage? Were you able to pay the rent with it? Exactly how far did that money go? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. A lot of people hurting out there. A lot of people are very, very concerned about their civil liberties under attack, including our next guest, who is the president of Family Research Council, a good friend of this program, Tony Perkins. Tony, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing quite well, Todd Starnes. How are you?
You know, doing well, finally evacuated, left New York City. So living back home in Memphis, Tennessee, living the good life.
Well, you're the first fruits because there's going to be a lot more leaving New York when this is all over with.
Yeah, I think yes.
Yeah, you had to figure that one out. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people leaving New York City when this. I mean, look, I wouldn't live in a city. You couldn't pay me enough to live in a city because you're confined there, trapped, when something like this happens.
Tony, we just had Harmeet Dhillon on the last segment, a little bit of breaking news out of California. A federal judge appointed by Obama ruled against churches wanting to hold in-person services, even though those services would line up with the social distancing, you know, policies. And the judge says, no, you can't do that, and you won't be able to meet in person until after the pandemic emergency is over. We're seeing these kinds of stories pop up all over the country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's troubling. Look, I've been an advocate and continue to be an advocate for people abiding by the CDC guidelines for physical distancing. That, you know, this is real. The threat is real. It's a real virus. It's killing people. We've lost over 40,000 people in a very short period of time. My daughter is an ER nurse working with COVID patients, so I know it's real. But at the same time, so are our first freedoms. So are our constitutional rights. And look, I think it's reasonable what the government has done initially, what the guidance from the federal level has been very reasonable, and I think has actually helped flatten the curve, kept us from having an even worse scenario. But look, it's been 40 days. It'll be 40 days at the end of this month, actually 45. You know, God didn't even keep Moses on the mountain for over 40 days. It's time for people to be able to begin to reenter society with a new perspective of the importance of, number one, hygiene, of the threat of this virus, but we got to adapt. And I give credit to the American people that businesses, restaurants, and churches are going to modify what they've been doing to make people feel and be safe in their establishments.
It does seem, by and large, that most of the attacks have been on religious groups, going back to, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago when de Blasio out of New York City told the Jews and the Christians they could not go inside their houses of worship or they'd be shut down permanently.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, the Department of Justice has been very good at this. I had talked to them about that case, and they said, you know, look, if that happens, believe me, we're all over it. They also filed a letter of interest in Mississippi, where the mayor there in Greenville, Mississippi, which I know you've written about and talked about, wouldn't allow drive-in churches. So those jurisdictions that are treating churches differently than everyone else with greater restrictions, those are not going to hold up. Now, you might get an aberrant judge here and there, although there's still quite a few. Trump has been able to replace a lot of them, but there's still some bad ones there. They're going to appeal, and they're going to work their way up. That's why I'm grateful for First Liberty, ADF, Liberty Council, others that are out there advocating for this first freedom of ours, freedom of religion. But I want to say we've got to operate within the guidelines that CDC has put out, because it's important. But there's ways to do that. And what I'm finding, and with some exceptions, but what I'm finding is that it's the Democratic states led by Democratic governors who, number one, don't see religion as essential, but number two, see the state as the nanny, having to take care of everybody. What I like about President Trump and that he has approached this crisis from a federalism perspective, giving guidance and resources, but allowing the states to figure out what works best for them. Well, that's what the state leaders need to do to local communities and churches. That freedom that makes America a unique country, an exceptional country, needs to filter all the way down.
Well, and I hear what you're saying, Tony, but I mean, let's take California, for example. They're saying churches cannot, you know, hold worship services until the pandemic is over. I'm wondering how many of those churches are going to be able to, I mean, again, you from a very practical standpoint, be able to survive financially. And who gets to decide when the pandemic is over, you know, seriously?
Well, you know, I'm not here to give legal advice to churches. What I would say, I've been a pastor. I've pastored churches in South Louisiana where we've had natural disasters, and I know the impact that it has when you don't meet. I mean, again, we're going on 40 days here that churches have not been able to meet. If I were pastoring now, and this is what I have been encouraging pastors to do, is to operate within the CDC guidelines and figure out a way to meet, to minister, however that is. In some cases, it's been virtual. I've encouraged the drive-in, and I know some have clamped down on that, but I think we need to push back, right? Again, we need to take prudent steps, but there is a line which we will not be pushed across, and that is we will not surrender our fundamental freedoms, and chief among them, the freedom of religion. We will operate in a way that safeguards our congregation and our community, but we will not surrender to a big, overreaching, intrusive state.
Oh, and I think, you know, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with this, Tony, but I believe there are bad actors out there in government, in state governments, and thank goodness we do have the Attorney General, you know, William Barr, and he's got a pretty good eagle eye on this kind of stuff. But it does make you wonder, you know, down the road, God forbid, you know, we have a Democrat in the White House, what they would do, you know? I mean, because by and large, everybody in America said, whatever you say, government, if we have to relinquish our freedoms and our liberties for our own safety and health and well-being, have at it. Here you go. Here are the keys to the Constitution. Problem is, what happens if one day they don't give us those keys back?
I can't take issue with that at all. I agree 100%. I mean, it was Ben Franklin who said that those that would surrender essential freedoms for the promise of security deserve neither. And we cannot in any way sacrifice these fundamental freedoms.
And Tony,
living
I'm
within
with
the guidelines.
No, and that's the whole point. Look, I've been out there from day one, and you and I, look, there were some pastors out there that were clearly using this to make some sort of a statement. I got a problem with that. And I've got a huge problem with that. But what I don't have a problem with is like this church in Mississippi that was, from a very practical reason, most of their parishioners were old and they didn't have smartphones, so they're, you know, in the parking lot. That's what really bothers me and concerns me.
I'm with you. And I talked to the Department of Justice about that and in fact, brought these things up to the president and encouraged the president last week to make strong statements to the governors to respect the essential nature of churches and pastors, as this administration has, to use his bully pulpit to get more of these governors to basically fall in line with this guidance. I would tell you, if I were passing a church and I was operating according to the reasonable guidelines put forth by the CDC, and I had a mayor or a governor tell me I couldn't meet, I wouldn't pay any attention to that. I would meet if I were operating within reasonable guidelines. I am not going to tolerate these overreaching, closet, hostile people toward faith. We can't. It's been 40 days. We played by the rules. It's time to reopen society.
Well said.
In a reasonable, phased way.
No, well said. And I get it. And I know I understand why you're putting those caveats. I get it. And I think everybody gets it, Tony. And, you know, people are employing a lot of common sense, you know, but I don't think the government trusts us. The state governments. I just don't think
That's exactly the point. President Trump has trusted the state leaders. The state leaders need to trust the people.
Well said. Tony Perkins, thank you.
All right, Todd Starnes, you're a great American.
All right, Tony Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, president of Family Research Council. And, I do have a problem with those pastors. And you know who, I mean, you've seen the news. There are folks out there trying to make some sort of a political statement, make a name for themselves. You know, you don't need to do that. As a matter of fact, that kind of stuff actually hurts the cause. You know, don't be stupid. You got to be prudent. You got to be smart about things. But I'm telling you, folks, you turn over the keys to the Constitution to these Democrats, they may not give them back. And you better be prepared for that. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Text message from a good friend of this program, Doc Washburn. Now, you folks in Little Rock, Arkansas, you know who Doc Washburn is. He's your afternoon radio host, one of the best radio hosts in America, by the way. Doc sends me a note. He says, "Hey, brother, Doc Washburn here." I love how that's a great Southern way to start your text messages. "Hey, brother, Doc Washburn here. If you want to buy toilet paper, try Sam's Club when they open at 9 o'clock. You see, this is the problem. You know, we've got to be here. You know what, Caleb, I normally get here around 6:30, 7 in the morning.
That seems early.
To get ready for the, for the show. You know, I've got a lot of stuff to do. And it's hard. So I would have to have a fill-in host. I mean, maybe Doc Washburn might be willing to fill in so I could go down to the Sam's Club and get the TP and the brawny, the quicker picker-upper. Decisions. What do I do, America? What do I do? So there you go. Sam's Club. We are taking suggestions, by the way. So if you know where, if you're listening to us anywhere in the Mid-South, we're trying to find toilet paper and Brawny, the quicker picker-upper. So if you know, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Also wondering what's happening, restrictions in your communities. Give us a call as well. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, my old stomp Stomping Grounds. Veronica, listening online. Veronica, what's going on in Brooklyn?
Hi, Todd. How are you? I just wanted to kind of also piggyback off the guest that was speaking prior to me and say that a lot of people will be moving out of New York because this new culture that we have where the governor is saying go out and get an essential job and the mayor is saying if you see someone not social distancing, take pictures and send it in because, you know, snitches get rewards. I mean, what kind of an example are you setting and how heartless is that? And, you know, I feel that I live right on the Coney Island boardwalk and I see what people are doing and I see the police, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, getting up there and saying you have to leave the boardwalk if you're not wearing a mask. Well, is in boardwalk, everybody's social distancing, basically. And, you know, I sometimes also notice that people are very happy to snitch on each other and to notice what people are doing. And I feel like it's very sad. We should be standing together and being strong and not letting these draconian measures define us because, you know, there's people out there that will never reopen their business. They will be losing jobs. The economic effect of this is going to be felt throughout the end of the year, more so than it is now. And it is horrible. So I just want to, you know, commend you guys and what you're doing and speaking out about it. And I just wanted to kind of give in my, you know, two words on the issue.
No, Veronica, look, I love your call and what you had to say here. And the big issue for me, look, I'm not a medical guy, and I don't think people want to hear me talking about medicine for 3 hours. And I don't think that's, honestly, the virus is bad. I get it. But I don't think that's the big story here. I think the bigger story is shutting down America. And you know, in Brooklyn, and especially in the Coney Island area, that the small businesses, that is the engine of the community right there.
Yes.
Veronica, what's happening? What are your neighbors saying? Are they ready to get back to work? Are they ready to get out of their apartments?
I mean, you know, it's really interesting, right? Because here's mostly like a Russian, Ukrainian type of community where I am and people who have come from a communistic regime. And I don't know if it's hard for them to believe that this kind of rule or something resembling could be imposed in America. So they're kind of very pushed back about it, that we should follow the rules and this is so serious and whatnot. And I agree with you. I think there's definitely a virus. I think that people are getting sick. However, I think that we shouldn't have been closing down America. You know, proper rules should have been put in place for people that are, you know, less affected and such. And, you know, some people obviously want to get back to work. You know, the other day I overheard my neighbors who own a bunch of apartments in my complex talk about the fact that their money is running out. And these people are wealthy people. These are not, you know, I wouldn't even say they're middle class. And what's to say about middle and lower class, people that live paycheck to paycheck? I mean, you know, the older folks, I find that they just they don't really care. They think that they you know, it's best for the virus to go away. But I feel like it's the younger folks that kind of realize what's happening, really, you know, on the back end of this.
Oh,
and
sure.
That's being presented. And people want to go back to work because, you know, it's really, I can't even imagine what's going to happen at the end of the year with this economy. I mean, this, it's just, I can't even believe that this is the rules that they're imposing.
Veronica, I want you to call us back sometime. You keep us updated on what's happening in Brooklyn, New York. If you promise to do that, we got to take a break here. Otherwise, we keep chatting. Veronica in Brooklyn, New York, giving us the lay of the land. We want to hear from you as well. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Some good news, ladies and gentlemen, and we can sure use a boatload of that these days. A lot of you folks are reaching out to us and telling us where we can go find toilet paper here in Memphis, Tennessee. So apparently, Joe writes, and he hosts our Tool Talk show on the weekends. He says, "Hey, Starnes, super low in East Memphis has had racks of toilet paper." So I probably shouldn't have just announced that to the entire city of Memphis.
Yeah, well,
Caleb?
You're getting insider information, and you're just literally broadcasting it to the entire city.
Don't tell anybody. Just between you and me. You know who wouldn't have pulled? You know who wouldn't have done that is our good friend Corey Lewandowski, who is on the Newsmaker line right now. Corey, I hope you're handling quarantine better than I am.
Well, I'm doing fine, and I think I've got plenty of toilet paper, so I won't make a run to Memphis.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Hey, so look, one of the things that you've jumped on pretty quickly was Harvard University getting they were going to get, what, $9 million in stimulus money. And all you know what broke out. And you came up with the great idea, which is they ought to freeze tuition for 3 years if they accept that money.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, Todd, your listeners know this. Harvard University has a $40 billion, with a B, dollar endowment. And what we've seen them do, once they've gotten stimulus money, they let off cafeteria workers, they laid off the cleaners, the pipe fitters, the electricians. They didn't lay off any of the professors or the provosts or the president of the school. They didn't give those guys pay cuts. But they did decide to take $9 million in taxpayer money. And I think that's a gross abuse. The president talked about it. And today, finally, the elitists at Harvard saw what was going on and decided to give the money back. So I think it's the right thing.
Corey, I want to get your reaction to something Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, had to say yesterday. There's a press conference, and one of the reporters really went after him on this issue. A lot of New Yorkers want to go back to work. They want to get out of their homes. And here's what Cuomo said in response to that. Do we have that audio? All right. Well, I'll tell you what he said. He said, if you want a job, you got to go out there and you got to get yourself an essential job. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that?
Yeah, Ty, you know what that is? That means become a government worker, because you haven't heard any government workers losing their jobs by and large, right? Everybody's lost their job of people who took a chance, started a small business, made sacrifices, worried about making payroll. You don't hear about these government workers, these city employees getting laid off. They never get laid off. So I don't find them to be essential to the role by and large of what the American economy is built on, but that's what Cuomo thinks. And that's why he has a very different mindset than everybody who gets up and goes to work every day.
And these network news anchors out there lecturing everyone on social distancing. Corey, you and I both know how the TV world looks. Those people have makeup artists and hairstylists, and I'd like to know how they're doing their hair and makeup while practicing the 6 foot buffer rule.
Well, we know they're not, because what we've seen, and this is what always happens with those types of people, is they tell you to do something they're not willing to do themselves. That's what always occurs. It's always doing that I say, not something that I'm actually. And because of that, they have no credibility.
On the Newsmaker line, Corey Lewandowski from the Trump campaign. Corey, the big question, what exactly is going on here with the reopening of the country? There are a lot of people very concerned that the Democrats are intentionally trying to tank the economy to hurt the president's chances of reelection.
Well, look, I worry about a lot of things. I worry about 26 million people who had to file for unemployment benefits. I worry about the fact that there are different rules in different states. I worry about the fact that what is considered essential personnel in one state is not considered essential personnel in another state. And what the president said, and what we have to remember, is that the solution to this problem cannot be worse than the problem. And so, you know, Todd, no one's talking about the fact that Governor Cuomo used the National Guard to surround an American city to quarantine people. You remember that? When he did that in New Albany, New York? Nobody talks about that. But what we now know is that people in Florida, because of the actions of Ron DeSantis, seem to have responded better and shortened the curve faster, lowered the curve faster than people in New York City. We see states like Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, where they never closed. And, their economies are still feeling the pinch, but not as badly as others. And those Republican governors had to make tough strategic decisions based on their populations and understanding that in some areas of their states, they had no COVID-19 cases. So it didn't make sense to issue a one-size-fits-all approach, which is by and large what some in the federal government thought was the right approach.
What are you hearing from folks? I know you guys have been doing a lot of the virtual town hall gatherings and virtual campaigning. What's the enthusiasm level like among the supporters?
Well, I'll tell you this. I had the opportunity last night to interview Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida and Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from New York on what we call Trump TV on the platform. And we got 1.5 million views of me doing that interview. Now, if that tells you something, number one, I had no makeup. This was, you know, done in my home. And I had two great guests with Congresswoman Stefanik, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. But 1.5 million views tells me that our base is very much engaged. They want additional information, and we're trying to provide that. And just today, the campaign launched the new campaign app available if you want to download it. And so it's really exciting stuff. And the momentum that we're seeing from those people who, by and large, are stuck at home, they're not working anymore, has really been amazing. I think we've made 17 million phone calls to individuals now in the last, what is about 7 weeks. That's an astonishing number. And part of the reason for that is because people aren't going to work every day. And so they're using their time differently. And many of them have chosen to put their efforts into supporting Donald Trump's campaign.
You know, I think these press briefings are serving a dual purpose. Not only is the president getting information out there, but I think the average American, because they have nothing else to watch, you know, they're watching this press briefing and they see the mainstream media in real time attacking this president, disrespecting this president. And I think they get it probably now, more so now than they ever have in the past.
Well, I think you're right, and you have to remember, it wasn't that long ago, Todd, where we got our news from three sources, ABC, NBC, and CBS, and we didn't really know what the political bias was of those reporters, those anchors who chaired those evening news desks. Now, we see Jim Acosta and his bias on full display. We see the way that they attack this president, the way they demoralize whatever he does, the two-tiered types of system where if the president says one thing and Governor Cuomo says the exact same thing, one is chastised and the other one is praised. These press conferences have reminded the American people just how fake of a policy of a new system we have here. And it's really too bad, because I think it's important when the president has the opportunity to speak directly to the American people. And as opposed to reporters trying to be the news, they should simply report the news. And if they did that, I think their credibility would be higher than that of Congress, which is somewhere in, you know, 6 or 7 percentile range.
Good point. All right, Corey, we're going to have to leave it there. As always, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Corey Lewandowski, ladies and gentlemen, from the Trump campaign. And if you haven't gotten on to Trump TV, you got to do that. And wouldn't it be great? And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the president is going to do after, you know, after his 8 years in office. But it sure would be nice if we had a, you know, an honest to goodness conservative news network out there. Wouldn't that be exciting? Trump TV. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. Real curious how you are doing as a small business owner. Are you able to get through? Have you been able to get your loans? Has the government just shoved you off to the side? And what are you doing in preparation for reopening your business? If you want to give us a call, please do so. 844-747-8868. That's toll free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. This story from FoxNews.com. A good friend of mine wrote this, Adam Shaw. He's one of the good guys at Fox News. Democrat lawmakers eye opportunity for historic expansion of government amid coronavirus crisis. Well, we all knew this was going to happen. Adam starts out by reminding us of what the Godfather, Rahm Emanuel, once said back in 2008 during the financial crisis, that lawmakers should never let a crisis go to waste. Never let a crisis go to waste. Many Democrat lawmakers appear to be heeding that advice, using the coronavirus pandemic as a jumping off point to renew calls for a historic expansion of the government. Emmanuel repeated his mantra again last month. He said, start planning for the future. This has to be the last pandemic that creates an economic depression. We're going to have more pandemics, but this has to be the last economic depression. So what they're looking to do is expand government. The view that the crisis should be an axis for deep, long-lasting change was on display during negotiations of the $2 trillion stimulus package. And can I stop right here, ladies and gentlemen, and just remind you of something? Out of the $2 trillion, and again, this is our money. This is our money. Out of that $2 trillion, the American people got what? $356 billion of that. So the question again, where did the rest of the money go to? And you know, I know that we love to pound on the Democrats on this program, but you know that the Republicans were getting just as much pork as the Democrats were. Oh, by the way, did you see the story yesterday? Apparently another pork producing plant has shut down. And they're saying that we could all be in big trouble. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm just go ahead and write this down, and you can say, Todd Starn said it was going to be this way. I'm just telling you, if we don't have Southeastern Conference college football, and we don't have Jimmy Dean sausage, and we don't have sweet tea, there could be war. I'm just saying, I'm not saying anything. I'm just, you know, that is what it is. Got to have the Jimmy Dean sausage. The patties, not the links. But I continue. The remark that brought criticism from Republicans, by the way, a guy by the name of Kevin Kramer, he said, when we see a rising body count, they see a political opportunity. Shame on them. But it's true. Do you understand what's going on here? The Democrats are now using this. I think, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking at the same data I'm looking at, it looks as though the virus has flattened. The curve has flattened. But the Democrats, they're using this as an opportunity to destroy the country. And they want to remake it into some sort of a socialist utopia. That's what's going on here. The idea that the coronavirus crisis could spur a new progressive revolution is shared by Governor Gavin Newsom of California. And here is his quote. Absolutely. We see this as an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and how we govern. So, ladies and gentlemen, they're not even trying to hide it from us. They're telling us what they want to do, and they're going to tell us, and they're showing us how they're doing it. They know. They're not stupid. They know that many of you who own small businesses, they know that many of you who live paycheck to paycheck cannot afford this. They know that eventually, if they can hold out long enough, if they can inflict just enough suffering, that you will capitulate, that you will do whatever the government wants you to do. And if that means all you get is a check, a monthly check of $1,200 from the government, then you're going to take it because that's all you have. That's all you have. So this is where we are right now in America, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not a pretty spot to be in. But this is where we are right now. I want to play some audio. This just happened on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Madam Speaker, I have one question. Where has Congress been? 43% of American households have had a significant or total pay cut. 26 million Americans have filed for unemployment. Schools are shut down, placing burdens on families, and hospitals are laying off doctors and nurses. Where has Congress been? Congress has met twice. First, to pass a $2 trillion bill that in many cases is harming the very business it purports to help. And now again, to spend more borrowed money without asking the important questions. No hearings, no oversight. Today, I'm holding my nose, voting for a bill I had no chance to shape, because there are 700,000 businesses closed by the power of government on the outside looking in, while Harvard qualifies for $9 million. But this is it, Madam Speaker. Enough. No more half legislating. No more picking winners and losers. No more asking a small restaurant to gamble, to borrow money in hopes that money will be forgiven by their government. If they rehire people, they can't rehire because those same overlords are paying workers more in unemployment than to do their job. Congress must convene not just today, but every day until America is back on track. Our job is to make policies that will save lives on moving us forward with deliberation, facts, and balanced reason, not reaction, panic, and fear. Congress should be here, Madam Speaker.
That was Congressman Chip Roy from Texas. You've heard him on this program time and time again. And he's absolutely right. Where has Congress been? 43% of American households have had their pay cut. 43% or completely cut. 26.4 million Americans have filed for unemployment as of today. Where do you say enough is enough? The Democrats are intentionally inflicting suffering on the American people. And the only reason, it has nothing to do with this virus. It has everything to do with shutting down this president. They want to destroy this man. They want to destroy the economy that his incredible policies have created. That's what they want to do. By the way, every single person up on Capitol Hill, every single person in your state capitol, every single person in your city hall, you know what those folks have in common? They're still getting a paycheck, ladies and gentlemen. All those people on cable television, on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, the ones who have their hair done up perfectly, they have the makeup on, they have their blonde hair. You know what they have in common with the folks in the state capitals and the city halls? They're still getting a paycheck too. They're out there lecturing you. Don't go out in public. Don't reopen your business. Stay inside your house. But guess what they're doing? They're out there lollygagging around all over the place at their second or third homes. Chris Cuomo from CNN, the most profane name in news, his diseased breath infecting Lord knows how many people out in the East Hamptons. The governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, at his vacation home in North Carolina. He's not even in his own state, ladies and gentlemen. So they stand there and they lecture us while turning around and doing the exact same. They're telling the same thing they're telling us not to do. That's hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen. Absolute hypocrisy. And we're going to call them out on it. That's all we're going to do. We're going to call them out on it. We'll be right back. Stick around, everybody.